We greet you in Christ's name this morning. It's good to be here. It's been a blessing to be here already this morning and listen to the messages and the songs, the scripture reading, and also the Sunday school lesson. I appreciate the verses that Brother Steve is choosing or picking out for memorization. Because straight is the gate and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it. Why is that so? Are there just the few that find that way? I'd like to write something on the board for you to think about. And it has Have you seen that before? That's not very much poison, is it? How many of us would be okay with our children playing with rat poison that would just have that small amount of poison in it? Or how many of us would be willing to just, we'd be okay with that? And the reason I wanted that up there is because of what we want to look at today. Are we okay? You know, that was a challenge to think about this ark, this man that held it from falling and he was killed. But if we go back to what God said, would we be okay with just, I mean, God, surely you could overlook that. Just a little thing. Are we okay with that? Do we as Christians, people of God, thinking about this narrow way, can we become so callous to this, you know, just a little bit? Surely God's going to understand. How holy is your God? Now, I'm going to ask the song leader to lead a song, 301 in the songbook. Now, I want us to carefully consider this song and also notice where this song is under. 301. And how many of us believe this song that we're going to sing? The message in this song, do we really believe it? Okay.
Face to face with Christ, my Savior. Face to face, how will it be? Christ to die for me. Face to face will I behold him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all his glory, I shall see him by and by. Now I see him with the darkening veil between. Now the
blessed day is coming, when His glory shall be seen. Face to face shall I behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see. By and by,
what rejoicing
in His presence, when our banished grief and pain, when our crooked
ways are straight,
and the dark things shall be plain. Starry sky, face to face
in
His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Face to face,
face to face to see and know. Face to face with my Redeemer, Jesus Christ, who loves me so.
Face to face shall I
behold Him, far beyond the starry sky. Face to face in all His glory, I shall see Him by and by.
Thank you. That's been a favorite of mine for a long, long time. How many of us believe that? How many of us really feel that someday we're going to see Jesus face to face? We believe that. We believe that. If you notice on the heading of this song, it says, He's coming again. How many of us believe that? We don't know how He's going to come. We have some direction in the Scripture that we want to look at today. But you know, we don't know if in our lifetime that He will come for all of us as a body. But you know, He came for some people just real recently. Just this past week, I got a call from one of my schoolmates. He was a twin, Dwayne Miller, from Indiana. A friend of mine, he was killed. He was out cutting hay with horses, and the horses, there was a runaway. And he was killed. I got word from a man in Guatemala, went out to get the cows. He didn't come in with the cows for a while. One of the sons went out to look for him, and then his wife. They found him dead. Lightning hit him. Jesus came for him. They had a set of twins in the family. The youngest ones are twins. I think they're 3 years old. 5 children. God came for him. Jesus came for that man. The young man in Pennsylvania, Randall Stolzfus. Now, I understand that he was one of those gifted ones that could ride a one-wheel bike like Julian here can. And maybe all of you know what happened. He lost his driver's license, and he took this wheel to go to work. On the way, he hit some gravel, and it threw him out right in front of a semi. 19 years old, Jesus came for him. He's coming for some young children. He's coming for families, five children at one time. So yes, Jesus is coming again, and he's coming, he may just come to pick out some. We don't know. But if we really believe that we're going to see him face to face and follow the directions and the encouragement that is in that song, this straight and narrow way is not going to be that complicated. And we're not going to settle for five thousandths of our life to be good enough. We're not going to settle with that. Now, I'd like to just, before we turn into the New Testament, I'd like to look at Isaiah 53, a beautiful account here, just picturing Jesus and what he did, how he gave his life, how he suffered, and God was satisfied with that. And it doesn't seem fair that he took the blame for the sins of the whole world, for my sins upon himself, and suffer the way he did, so that we can have life, so that we can meet him face to face. Isaiah 53. Who hath believed our report? And to whom is the arm of the Lord revealed? For he shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of a dry ground. He hath no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. Now, I find that hard to believe. You know, now I'm homesick, or I want to see Jesus. I want to see the scars that he has on his body for me. You know, all of us have scars. And most scars have a story to tell you. Tell my grandchildren, I have some scars on my hands, and this is what happened when I was a little boy. This is what happened. Scars have a story. Jesus' scars on his body, they have a big story. He died. He gave his life so that I can have life. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. Why? And we hid, as it were, our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he had borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he had done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He hath put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he hath poured out his soul unto death. And he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many and made intercession for the transgressors. That's talking about us. He did this. We're the transgressors, and he gave his life. He suffered. He went through all this so that we can be free. Isn't that amazing? We don't deserve that kind of love. We don't deserve that. Now let's turn to Acts chapter 1. Acts chapter 1, the first 11 verses. The former treaties have I made, O Theopolis, of all that Jesus began both to do and teach, until the day in which he was taken up. After that, he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom also he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, or after his crucifixion, after the resurrection, being seen of them 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God, and being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart from Jerusalem, but wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom to Israel? And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up, and a cloud received him out of their sight. And while they looked steadfastly toward heaven as he went up, behold, two men stood by them in white apparel, which also said, ye men of Galilee, why stand ye gazing up into heaven? This same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go into heaven. So we'll stop there. So when we think about Jesus and how he left, I have a picture of him leaving in the clouds. There was angels there telling them what happened. And when he was leaving and they were gazing, but then these angels said, this same Jesus which is taken up from you into heaven shall so come in like manner as ye have seen him go. Now, does that mean that one day, on a cloudy day, we're going to see Jesus coming out of the sky? I've already heard this statement, and I don't really appreciate it. These people were kind of making fun of when Jesus comes again. It was on a clear day, and they said, well, Jesus won't come today because it's not cloudy. I don't agree with that. I think it's a shame if we have that kind of mentality. We'll live today like we want to because he's not coming today. That's a false hope or a false statement. He could come anytime. There could be clouds around him, or he could come for us individually. But do we really believe that Jesus is coming again? And how he's coming, I don't think it's that important. But I believe he's coming. Am I excited about him coming? Do I look for him coming? Do I look, just stand out and look and gaze into the heavens and say, God, Jesus, when are you coming again? When are you coming? I'm tired. I'm ready to go. When are you coming? Are we homesick? Does that cross our mind? Are we so busy, so occupied with good things that we just don't take that time to, yes, Jesus is coming. And I want to see him. I want to meet him. I want to see him face to face. Now, Revelation chapter 1. This verse really spoke to me recently when I read this account in a devotional. Revelation chapter 1, the first 8 verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Now that's a loaded verse. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the 7 churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you, and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the 7 spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is a faithful witness, and the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood, and hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father, to him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Behold, he cometh with clouds, and every eye shall see him, and they also which pierced him, and all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, saith the Lord, which is, and which was, and which is to come, the Almighty. Now, when I looked at this verse 7. Behold, he cometh with clouds. Now, there we have it again, with clouds. And every eye shall see him. Every eye shall see him. Now, we don't know if this is going to be, we're all going to see him at one time. The ones that have went on before, I don't know how that's going to be. But I believe every eye is going to see him, whether we want or not. We're going to see him. But here's something that really caught my attention. And they also which pierced him. So the first time that I read it, I said, well, you know, I didn't help pierce him. I wasn't there. I didn't help drive those nails into his hands and his feet. I didn't have that spear and poke his side and help put those crowns on his head and beat on them, and I didn't help with that. But wait a minute. Why? In this scripture, doesn't say more about those that are liars and steal and all the other sins that are sometimes mentioned in scripture. And they that pierced him. I believe that every one of us can be guilty of helping to pierce him. I really believe that. Now, Thomas said, I don't believe that y'all saw Jesus after the resurrection unless I can put my hands in his side and in his in his nail scars. Unless. But I believe that today we can be guilty of helping to pierce Jesus simply by how we act, how we think in our mind. Maybe we're just, surely a little bit is not going to matter, not going to hurt. God will understand But God is holy. There is no darkness in him whatsoever. No darkness at all. And all kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. Even so, amen. Now, I was struggling with that. All kindreds of the earth shall wail because of him. I believe when people will see him face to face, he's coming in the clouds and they see him, and they weren't ready. They weren't ready. They will wail. There's a wailing that probably humanity has never heard before. I can't go back to my neighbors or to my whoever and make it right. He's coming. I can't do anything about it now. And there will be a lot of wailing because it's too late. It's too late. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day that we can repent. We can come to the Lord and say, God, I'm sorry. I have whatever we've done. And we can repent. We can make restitution. We can invite him into our heart. And we can be his child today. Let's not put it off until tomorrow. Tomorrow may be too late. It may be too late. In 2 Peter chapter 3. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? Scoffers. What is a scoffer? Could it be that we can be guilty of being a scoffer, just making light of it? I remember my grandpa telling us back in the 50s, in the middle 50s, he knew a man that was a farmer. He didn't get his equipment out that year to farm because he said the Lord is coming that year and there's no need to plant a crop. The Lord still hasn't come. And it could be, according to this, where is the promise of his coming? When's he going to come? I mean, look at all the, as old as I am, he hasn't come. We have plenty of time. For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, but that by the word of God the heavens were of old and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. Now, it's hard for me to understand that. One day as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. We can't see time like that. Everything that we do, we're time-oriented people. It's time to get up. It's time to go to bed. It's time, you know, everything we do is time. 1,000 years as one day, and one day as 1,000 years. We don't understand that. But the Lord is not slack concerning his promise to usward, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also and the works that are therein shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot, and blameless. And account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. As also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and ever. Amen. We have a lot of encouragement here, a lot of promises here, a lot of things that we just, but grow in grace. Now, there was a practice in the setting that I come from, and some of you are here today that will understand what I'm talking about. Weltende Schriften. Some of us know what that meant. And in our setting, they went through those, Matthew 24 and 25, every year. That was a good warning. It was a lot of scripture there that I don't understand all of it. And I think that we should spend more time in Matthew 24 and 25. Just a little bit in here that I want to read. Verses 36 through 41. But of that day and hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were, so shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. For as in the days that were before the flood, they were eating and drinking, marrying and giving in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and knew not until the flood came and took them all away. So shall also the coming of the Son of Man be. Then shall two be in the field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, the one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour your Lord doth come. Therefore be ye also ready in such an hour as ye think not the Son of Man cometh. What warnings to us today. What warnings. We don't know when he's going to come again. You know, it's hard to believe why he hasn't come. It's so hard to believe that. But we need to be ready. Such an hour as ye think not. Now, in closing, I'd like to turn to a scripture in Hebrews chapter 6. Hebrews chapter 10. Now, I remember years ago when Brother Pablo Yoder, he's no longer living, he was in Whiteville, had meetings there. And this scripture just has stuck with me, and I'd like to share it today, just simply as an encouragement to us and a warning. Hebrews chapter 10, starting in verse 26. For if we sin willfully after that we have received the knowledge of the truth, there remaineth no more sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful looking for of judgment and fiery indignation which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised Moses' law died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much sore punishment, suppose ye, shall he be thought worthy, who hath trodden under foot the Son of God, and hath counted the blood of the covenant, wherewith he was sanctified an unholy thing, and hath done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Now we have a loaded portion of scripture here. A real warning. If we're scoffers, maybe we're just making fun or light of where we're at, what we're thinking. The thing that stood out to me that Pablo wrote out is, I think it was in Spanish that he said, this thing of who had trodden underfoot the Son of God. Like if he would put on his work boots and he would just simply take his boots and stomp in the mud, stomp in the dirt. The things that he had been taught, the things that the scripture teaches us, if we just so lightly just ignore it, we totally just don't care about it, we're not concerned about it, we just simply stomp it in the mud, what God has done for us. And oh, I just remember that evening. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Yes, I believe this morning that we will face Jesus. We will meet him and we will face him face to face with Jesus, my Lord. And we can be ready today. Praise the Lord. We can be ready. Let's not be satisfied with just a small inkling of unholiness or sin in our life. But we're 100% face to face with Jesus, my Redeemer. Let's come before the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, thank you so much for your love and your goodness to us today. Thank you for speaking to my heart. Thank you so much for what Christ has done for us. He took the blame for this, my sins upon himself. And today he has scars. And Lord, I help with those scars in him. Help me, Lord, to not be a scoffer, to not make light of things, but to be sober, to be serious about life, and to be ready, watching, and waiting for your return. Father, thank you for each one that's here today. May you continue to guide us, Lord, and direct us, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be faithful and to be true and to be obedient. Father, bless those that are not here with us today. Bless those that are sick. Father, we want to commit our life to you, Lord, for your honor and for your glory. Thank you, in Jesus' name, amen.